Every great company starts the same way, with a dream. Not a pitch deck, not a spreadsheet, but a vision. And behind every entrepreneur is the same starting point, a belief that something better is possible and the willingness to take on the risk trying to build it. Welcome to Dreaming Big. I'm Alexis Allen, and I'm a relationship manager on the Texera Lockroom Group here in the New York City office at UBS. I've spent the last decade working alongside founders across industries and stages. From ideas scribbled on napkins to companies scaling faster than anyone expected, I have seen what it really takes to turn vision into reality. And what has always drawn me is not just the outcome. It is the optimism, the grit, and the ability to hold a vision long before anyone else believes in it. On Dreaming Big, I sit down with entrepreneurs to talk about where that dream started, the moments that shaped them, the pivots they did not plan, what they're building, who they're becoming, and the lives they're trying to live along the way. And so we go deep into identity, turning points, joy, and the season where that dream felt fragile but somehow survived. This isn't just a podcast about startups. It's about making something out of nothing, about protecting an idea long enough for it to become real, and about the courage to keep going day after day. And so whether you're building your first company, scaling your fifth, investing in a founder, or simply drawn to people who see the future before it exists, this is for you. If you'd like to connect or share your story, you can reach me at alexis.allen@ubs.com. Now, this is Dreaming Big. And so let's dive in. Today, I'm talking with Michaela Barker, founder of Matcha Scrubs. She is not affiliated with UBS Financial Services, Inc., and her views are her own. Matcha Scrubs is a healthcare meets lifestyle brand that is reimagining medical accessories. But here's the thing, she is not doing this in the traditional way. She also has a full-time job as the manager of strategic projects for the CEO at 1-800-Flowers. Michaela is evidence that you can build something meaningful and scale sustainably while maintaining stability. Her journey started during the pandemic when she watched her own mom, an OBGYN, struggle with the scrub caps that damaged her natural hair and deal with painful sores from wearing masks and eye shields for hours. That frustration turned into Matcha Scrubs, which she launched in 2024. So today, we are going to talk about building a business on your own terms, about designing with inclusion at the center, and about managing guilt and imposter syndrome, and what it really takes to show up for yourself and your dreams. So let's jump into it. Well, Michaela, first of all, thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me here, Alexis.
So my goal really is to understand the inner workings of successful entrepreneurs. So what I would love to start with is what you think would be most important for me to know about you. And this could be anything from how you were raised or an early experience that shaped you.
I love that question. I think that's something that is imperative to understanding me and how I think and operate, is that I'm not somebody who believes in living within a box. You know, I think that humans are very dynamic. We have very different interests or things that we're passionate about. And so for me, growing up, I was always surrounded by medicine. My mom's a doctor. My older brother is a doctor. And while healthcare was always super important to me, I also loved other things like music. So I also sing, songwrite, and produce under the stage name Bella Rain. And so sometimes when people say that you can only do one thing or just have tunnel vision, I completely disagree with that. I think that you can be a scientist and also an artist and an entrepreneur at the same time. And if anything, it helps you have different perspectives and really shape your creativity.
That's amazing. I didn't even know that about your musical background. And I think one of my takeaways from your background and experience is the discipline and consistency kind of across each dimension of your life. So
yes.
Let's talk a little bit about your discipline as it's related to your career. So I would love if you could take me back to the beginning and tell me a little bit about the early days of your career.
Yeah, absolutely. So initially, and I feel like this is a story that a lot of people can relate to. Initially, I was pre-med. I was going to be a doctor. I had this huge plan. I specifically was going to be a dermatologist, so focused on skin, nails, and hair. But once I actually got into it, I did all the prereqs, I took the MCAT, and I actually went so far as to start a post-bac program. And I was doing well academically, but I hated it, Alexis. Every single day, I was just like, oh, this is miserable. It's not what I thought it was going to be. And at first I was like, okay, maybe it's just because I'm doing the general setting, right? Once I get into the dermatology block, then I'm going to absolutely love it. And I got to the derm block and I was like, wow, I still hate this. So I knew that it was time to have some sort of pivot. And when I did that, I started looking into public health and how to make more macro influential changes. And I really fell in love with that because I could combine the science also with the business and the research side of things. So after graduating from Ohio State, I started working at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Then I worked at the Ingham County Health Department. And then, of course, this little thing called COVID happened. So I took that time to study for grad school and take the GRE, where I knew that I wanted to go for an MBA and an MPH. And now I run Matcha Scrubs, which is my startup. And then during the day, I work at 1-800-Flowers with Jim McCann.
Really, it is amazing how you weave so many of the different components, certainly into your startup, but how it seems to just all feed each other. So before we hop into the foundation of Matcha Scrubs, you've obviously had an amazing career, but you also got a dual MBA and MPH at Yale. I would love to just hear about what prompted you to pursue that further education and how that has played a role in your current work and in building Matcha Scrubs.
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I was applying to grad school, I wanted to get both the MPH and the MBA. The MPH to further help my research skills. I knew, you know, a lot from undergrad, but especially as we were talking about infrastructural issues in the healthcare system, I knew that I needed to be able to go deeper, looking at the history. Why are certain policies written these ways? I wanted to take some law classes just to give me some more background on those things. And then for the MBA, an issue that I ran into a lot during the start of my public health career was that I could justify things from a scientific standpoint, but a lot of the times I got feedback where people were saying, oh, we don't have the budget for this. We don't have the money for this. We can't make this work. And I knew that if I wanted to make any sort of change in that world, that I would need to understand how the money worked, whether it was based off of grants, insurance, or just general company finances. So I wanted to have both of those things in my toolkit and my arsenal to help me justify the changes that I was making. And that combination has been incredibly helpful for Matcha Scrubs because I can see things from different perspectives, both a business perspective and a healthcare perspective, see how those two worlds can intersect. So I feel like it was the perfect storm for me to be able to launch Matcha Scrubs and definitely what I needed in my life.
It's such a wonderful observation, again, of how the two dimensions really play an integral component in most companies, but certainly ones that are in the healthcare space. So we briefly touched on it, but tell me about the period of time during the pandemic. And, you know, you watched your mom during that chapter. And what was the moment for you when you realized that there was this problem and that it was your problem to solve?
Yeah, what really highlighted it during the pandemic was there was a specific day where my mom came home and she's an OBGYN. And she had just gotten done seeing a bunch of patients, delivering babies, C-sections. And when she came home, she took her scrub cap off. And because most scrub caps are too small for people who have curlier hair, have braids, have locks, or any cultural hairstyle, she would often have to just straighten her hair to make it fit in the cap or double up. And this particular day, she had straightened her hair. When she took her hair out of the scrub cap, her hair was sweated out. It didn't retain the style and it was super dry. So she was frustrated about that. She was rubbing her ears because she had been wearing N95 all day and her ears were hurting. She had lines around her face and her ears were also hurting because she was wearing an eye shield. You're seeing her just look so uncomfortable, not only because of all the PPE she was wearing, but just after a long day of saving lives or bringing lives into this world, I was like, that's really not fair. You have people like my mom putting their lives on the line for other people. Like, the least that we can do for them is make them comfortable while they're doing this important work. So it was that day where I was like, okay, I need to fix this. This is impacting somebody that I love. She's already stressed out from everything else going on in the world. Let's make her life a little bit easier.
Yeah. No, and that is, It's a beautiful foundation story because it was such a personal thing for you where you really got to see what it was like up close. And so it sounds like you had kind of the ruminations of this idea back in 2020, but you didn't launch Matcha Scrubs until 2024. So first, walk me through those 4 years and also share with me when you really had the idea of this is exactly what I want to do. This is what I want to build. I want to build it myself.
So during those 4 years were a lot of different thoughts. One, applying to grad school, and I matriculated to Yale in 2021 that fall. So the first year, it was really just me getting used to being back in school again and learning campus a bit more. In 2022 was when I started actively thinking about, okay, if I'm going to launch this and work on this, what do I need? What people do I talk to? Because I knew the healthcare side and I was getting familiar with the business side, but I'm not a designer in my own right. I've never created a physical product from scratch. So I was like, what do I do? How do I start? And one of the things that I started doing was hanging out at our entrepreneurship spaces at Yale. So we have a place called SciCity, which is like a huge hub for the entire university, but then also in the schools of public health and in the schools of management, we had specific entrepreneur clubs. We have a bunker at SOM, the MBA school, where people just go to work on their startups all the time. And I just started hanging out there and talking to people. And through doing that is how I found out about different accelerators, pitch competitions, even classes called like Startup and Entrepreneurship, Founders Practicum, and just organically meeting people who are saying like, oh, well, if you need a prototype done, I have a friend who sews, or I have a friend who manufactures textiles. So it kind of authentically started building from there. And it was in 2022 where I was like, okay, I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to look into fundraising. I'm going to look into how to actually build this prototype. And then from there, I was doing all the accelerators, the pitch competitions, and absolutely everything that came with building a business.
I love that you shared really what it was like in the early days to be like, where do I even begin? Is it a business plan? Is it talking to manufacturers? Is it finding a designer? Because you understood a portion of this space, but the world of actually developing, it was new and you've done an amazing job. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your launch, because I know that you were really intentional, not just about kind of what you originally came out with and what you launched with, but the day that you launched and all the thinking around that.
Yeah, absolutely. So after I got all the inventory in, I think every founder can have this moment of like, oh my gosh, am I actually going to do this? Like I had everything ready, set to go. The website was done. The inventory was in. I'd even bought Canva Pro to make all of my social media posts and everything. But I got a little bit nervous, you know, and I was like, okay, if we're going to do it, we need to just climb Cringe Mountain and just launch. You worked so hard for this. Now is the time. Don't self-sabotage. And it was just really fitting for me to launch on Juneteenth specifically because it's a celebration of culture. It's talking about the liberation of African Americans and Black people in America. And for me, knowing that this was based on struggles that I had seen with my mom and other hair types and textures that aren't always represented, it just felt like a nice, positive way to celebrate that liberation as well, and showing that inclusivity isn't some other category. It's not an add-on. It's a part of our society and should be a part of our society. So I was definitely very intentional about that, and I got great reception from it. And it was just very authentic too, and it just felt right.
Amazing. Now you touched a little bit on inclusivity. And I know that's something that you believe and have said that, you know, inclusion doesn't just mean a product is for one group. It actually can make things better for everyone. And so can you tell me more about how that has specifically manifested for Matcha Scrubs?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's exactly that. Inclusivity means that something is for everybody, not just one specific group. And even when I go about the branding of matcha scrubs, yes, this is something that came to mind because of struggles that I saw with my mother, who is a Black woman, and I'm a Black woman, but anybody can use the scrub caps. So the satin lining makes sure that every hair type, texture, and length retains its moisture and doesn't have any breakage. And even when it came to designing the caps itself, I had people of all race, ethnicities, backgrounds try them out, test them out to see how they use them and would launder them. But something that most people don't know is that I actually changed the dimensions on all three styles of my scrub caps so that they would fit most people. Again, a lot of scrub caps are small, so I actually measured the heads of my friends, my classmates, all different types of people to see which measurements were the most universal so that everybody could enjoy them. And so I include that in my branding and showing people of all types, of all backgrounds wearing them, because these things are for everybody. Just because it started off with my story specifically, that doesn't mean that certain groups can't wear them. So I bake that into not only the branding, but the product itself and the dimensions.
Such a thoughtful development strategy. So one thing that I just find to be outstanding is that you are balancing a full-time job at 1-800. And you're building matcha scrubs. Mm-hmm. So first, I want to understand how many hours you have in a day. But second, I really want to better understand kind of your decision and ability to do both at once and what factors you weigh in terms of, you know, feeding one into the other.
Ah, that is a great question. And I get it often. So I always find it funny when people say, I want to leave my 9-to-5 and I want to be an entrepreneur, because I'm like, guys, being an entrepreneur is a 24-hour job. But with balancing a full-time job, yeah, I'm really intentional. So I wake up every day at 5 a.m. and I'll start off by doing my prayers and my journaling and then working out. Once I'm done with that, I typically have an hour and a half before I need to head to 1-800 Flowers. So that's when I'm answering emails for matcha scrubs. I'm mocking things up, whether they're new designs or an in-store display for different conferences and vending events. And then once I'm at work, I do the day job thing. And the beautiful part about it is with working with Jim McCann, who is the founder of 1-800 Flowers, he always knew that I was an entrepreneur and he was always very supportive of that. So he knew from the jump that this is something that I cared about. And he had said, like, you know, we don't have any anti-moonlighting policy. You can work on whatever you want to work on. In fact, we support having that entrepreneurship thinking because you're bringing new ideas into the company. So having that support from not only my boss, but the founder of the company that I work for is invaluable, because he'll bring me into meetings where we talk about supply chain and he'll say, okay, Michaela, you need to think about this for matcha scrubs. Okay, Michaela, we're going to go with a different partner here. You should consider these things when looking for a manufacturing partner. So he gives me a lot of mentorship, which makes it a lot easier to navigate, especially having somebody that has had decades worth of experience.
Is really extraordinary and a testament to the culture and, you know, person that Jim is. But what an experience for you to, again, be able to learn from a founder who has done this over and over again, and someone who's so encouraging of what you're building.
Yeah, it's really a blessing to have. And there are times where he's talking about matcha scrubs and he'll call me over and he'll say, I was just telling my friend about this. Like, Jim has made a few sales for me. So they're the supportive boss.
Amazing. So tell me more about where Matcha Scrubs is right now and how you're thinking about the future. I would love to just hear your genuine thoughts about how things have gone and, you know, what you're excited about.
Yeah. So things have been going really well. It's funny because entrepreneurship always brings so many different surprises. So initially, I thought that the direct-to-consumer side was going to be the most popular, Shopify, e-commerce. And yes, I do get orders through there, but B2B has actually been more popular, which I wasn't anticipating. It's always something that I had hoped would happen, but I didn't think that it would happen this quickly and with this amount of frequency. So I've already partnered with a few dermatology clinics. I partnered with Mount Sinai. But the biggest update is that I'll physically be in the Mount Sinai gift shop. So I'm right now designing my display for how it's going to look. And it's very exciting, but just something that I didn't think was going to happen this quickly. So being able to have those hospital partnerships is absolutely amazing. Ultimately, I do want a full line with the shirts and the pants, but right now we're going to start off with some other scrub cap designs.
It's amazing. And congratulations on that partnership. It's such a testament to really finding product market fit. I mean, what signal to know that there are these hospitals and organizations that want to have this for everyone on their staff versus just, you know, individuals selecting it. So congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
You know, I'm sure that there are listeners that have dreams of what they would like to do and what they would like to build, but are probably hesitant to make the jump. And I think that you're such an example of someone who hasn't, you know, fully, you put two full feet in, but is able to do, you know, both at once. I would love to hear about what your advice for them would be.
I would say the first thing would be start before you feel like you're ready, because at the end of the day, you're never going to feel 100% ready. The biggest thing is that you just start and you put yourself out there. People have rebranded all of the time. Everybody knows the company Poppy, right? And all of the prebiotic sodas, the fun coloring. But Poppy didn't used to look like that at all. It was branded as an apple cider vinegar beverage, not even a soda. It was sold in the corner at Whole Foods, not attracting attention. But then they rebranded and Poppy is absolutely everywhere. So you can do the same thing. If something doesn't work out or doesn't attract the attention initially, you can always change it. But just start, because even if something doesn't work out, that's still data. Right? And you can use that to your advantage. And then in terms of people who are maybe building but still want to have the security of a full-time job or want to keep their day job, whatever the case may be, that doesn't make you less of an entrepreneur. I think that sometimes there's this stigma of, well, if you're not doing it 100% of your time, then you're not really into it. And that's simply not true. You're still an entrepreneur, even if you have a full-time job. You're still an entrepreneur if you have a part-time job. If you take a break for a while to just have a mental reset, there's no one specific path for how this is supposed to work. So do what's best for your life and what your immediate needs are.
Such good advice for anyone. I want to end with some rapid fire questions. So really quick, instinctive answers. For you, what is the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, the best advice that I have ever received was from my mom. And she just said, walk slowly. And that just meant taking in every single moment. Don't overthink it too much and don't rush through life. Stop and smell the roses.
It's really great. For you, what does living a rich life mean to you?
Living a rich life to me means living in my truth and protecting my peace. If it's not sparking joy, I don't want it.
What do you think you wish you knew before starting your own company?
I wish that I knew that you didn't have to reinvent the wheel. So I think a lot of times for entrepreneurs, and this is something that I went through, was how do I stand out so much? How do I look so differently from these other people? Or if somebody even had a cap, let's say, that looked 50% similar to mine, I was overthinking it and felt like there's no market here. But that's not true. Your unique spin on it is, one, whatever you create, but two, it might just be you and your branding. I mean, if you look down the bread aisle at a grocery store, there are 50 different versions of bread, right? And they all have their own marketing. They all have their own customer base. So you can do the same thing. If we can have 50 different versions of rye or wheat bread, there's probably a market for your product somewhere.
Totally. Lastly, what are you dreaming about next?
Next, I am dreaming about expanding where Matcha Scrubs is, but also trying to do some more speaking, talking about entrepreneurship, talking about my story, and just sharing with people that you can do it and that it's not too far-fetched. As someone who has, you know, gone through a lot, but accomplished a lot, I think we need to talk about the things that really happen in entrepreneurship and grad school, mental health, and how it's not always cookie cutter in the highlight reels that you see on Instagram.
I couldn't think of somebody who would be better equipped to talk about all those topics and so many more. And I know that we could talk for hours about a number of different ideas. For those of you who are looking to continue to follow your journey, where can they find you?
Absolutely. So they can find me on Instagram and TikTok at the Michaela Barker, also LinkedIn under Michaela Barker. And if you're curious about matcha scrubs, you can go to matchascrubs.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I so enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you, Alexis. This was amazing.
What I love most about Michaela's story is how real it is. She doesn't pretend to have all the answers, as she's not following a predetermined playbook, and she's certainly not waiting for permission for the perfect circumstances. Her story shows us that you can build something meaningful sustainably. You can honor your lived experience while creating something that serves everyone, and you can be strategic and intentional without losing the heart of what you're building. Honestly, I think that's what so many of us need to hear. So for everyone who's listening, who has been sitting on an idea and waiting for the right time, or think they need to quit to make their dreams a reality, Michaela is living proof that you can start where you are with what you have and build something meaningful. Thanks for going deep with me today. And remember, keep dreaming big dreams. I'm Alexis Allen, and I'll see you next time.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.